Welcome back to VOC Breakfast on 91.3 FM. Of course, we've been listening and hearing about, you know, this very important conversation that's been had around fishing in the Mother City and in the Western Cape more specifically, but also fish as a food source. We know that here in the country, we do face a food security crisis. And with many people going hungry on a daily basis, fish used to be a cost-effective way of being able to provide food for the family, and it does seem as if things have slightly shifted and have become a bit more expensive, or fish rather have become a bit more expensive, and seems to be have become a food source for the wealthy and those that have. Joining us on the line is an interesting guest that I think provides really good perspective on this. It's Professor Muniba Isaacs, who is with the Institute for Poverty, Land and Agrarian Studies, or PLAS, at the University of the Western Cape. And Professor Muniba Isaacs joins us on the line now. Prof, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Ashraf, and good to speak to you. Shukran for the invitation.
I think your voice on this particular topic is certainly important, and so shukran for making time for us. Getting into it quickly, a bit of background. I think obviously many of our listeners perhaps, you know, can recall a time in which fish was the primary food source because of its cost-effective nature, and also because of its accessibility, before we get into, you know, how things have shifted over the years.
Yes, fish is on the Western Cape and the West Coast particularly. It's a highly productive system of providing food for fish. So that means that there's always been plentiful of a number of species. We particularly know the lionfish species like steenbras and cob and yellowtail. Has been on the list, but also a very popular and well liked is the snook species that we know, sardines. I wish our people will eat more fresh sardines. Were all very plentiful. We even used to use choka as bait, you know, and now it's a delicacy. Kreef was all over, and also perlamoon. And the sauce itself is so rich in minerals and vitamins and trace elements that our body need, that we don't even have to go to the pharmacy to be able to get the tablets that we need if we had the fish that we, if we ate the way we used to eat the fish. So yes, there's a deep cultural history in the Cape around fish. And you can just imagine all the recipes they are with how you can make. So that is part of the culture and the heritage. And yes, we are losing that because of commercialization.
Yeah, I want to get into that specifically. I think one of the interesting things that we find and we perhaps talk about maybe once a year around Easter time is how expensive fish is when people want to prepare, you know, the pickled fish and so on and so forth. Every now and then you'll also hear commentary, quiet commentary around the cost of a snook, which used to be very, very cost effective and now is arguably very expensive. Also the sizing thereof, et cetera, et cetera. Speak to us then about the impact of commercialization on the fishing industry, and more specifically, subsistence fishers and individuals that, you know, want to fish enough to feed their households, or historically had been able to fish enough to feed their households and perhaps sell, whatever excess that they had.
So when we're talking about the subsistence fishers, I really feel that we need to talk about, because subsistence in actual fact means that you only eat the fish and you don't really sell. So we're talking about small-scale fishers, we're talking about artisanal fishers. And when we're talking about from their perspective, they used to have a fish all year round. So they would have, you know, on a winter species, and they would have also a summer species that they catch. Currently, Sea Harvest and ING are targeting snook, and they call it this is the bycatch. The bycatch means that they were allocated hake. Hake is a bottom trawl. Snook is a top predator, which means that you need a different way of fishing. So they target, so you can imagine the scoop, all of that snook that they scoop up in their nets. So that snook school doesn't have time to come closer to the shore, which directly impacts on small-scale fishes to sell. And that's why the fish or the price of the fish is so expensive, because you need to go to Lamberts Bay. So it's input cost. It's the cost of the fuel from Lamberts Bay to maybe another 20 kilometers where the snook is before you come back and sell it in Cape Town. So there's reasons why it is so expensive, because of the input costs, but also the fact that commercial industries in our area are targeting snook, and that directly impact on the one hand. The other hand, that everybody wants to be healthy, everyone wants to have fish every day. It's a treat for the wealthy. So if you can afford it, you buy fish. But they take that fish directly out of people's mouths that used to eat it. And what do they eat? Cheap chicken that are coming from Brazil, frozen chicken that is not nutrient, makes your tummy full, but it's not nutrient rich the way the fish is. So I think for me, there in essence is the injustices that we're speaking about. Food justice need to mean that you need to catch the food the fish that you catch is the fish that you need to eat. And that, I think, is so important for our communities around the Cape, and also for the health.
Also, obviously, the economic impact on, some of the fishing communities that have been decimated by the inability of members of those community to do subsistence fishing, or to be able to fish, do subsistence fishing and then sell whatever excess they had. Historically, those used to be, livelihoods that have essentially now been taken away from people.
It's not only that. There is a regulation for everything that you collect on the beach, and if you don't have a permit for that, you are fined. So it's also not that it's not available. It's been criminalized. So the things that you used to have and things that you could collect, like limpets, and you make a pickle, and that you can eat for some time because it's so rich in nutrients. You can't do that anymore. You will be fine. And then we have the higher end species that we so love in our communities, like perlemoen. We have stories of perlemoen, but we can't eat it because all the perlemoen is going to China. And I just had a conversation the other day of a nutritionist telling me all the nutrients in perlemoen. We need to eat the fish that is exported, and that's the unfairness around this is the call for justice when we're talking, or the concept that they're using now is food sovereignty.
How do we turn this around, Professor?
I think we need to turn it around when it comes to policy. And I think I've been talking about this issue about bycatch and big corporates that should not target a snook and that allow the snook to come closer. I think that is a policy decision. I think that it is important that we need to rehabilitate communities and be able to go to communities and buy the fish directly from them. And that also means that we could impact on their livelihoods, because everyone wants to support their family, want to send their children to school, and want to have healthy and thriving families. But they are not going to happen. That's not going to happen if we don't have that that kind of saying. We limit the amount of fish that is taken out of the communities, and we encourage others who are buying fish from high end retailers to come and buy directly from the community, so that you can see that money comes in. We must stop going. The spaza shops become a shop, right? Come put up a shop, and then there's no more spaza shops in or local shops in the area. So we need to think differently how we spend our money, where we spend our money, and that we need to support local fishers and not complain so much when the fish price is so expensive compared to what it used to be. Think about all the input costs that they are putting in to sell that fish or to get the fish to you. Is what I want to say. We are responsible as to how we purchase, where we buy, and what we buy. And we can help our communities thrive if we think differently.
Yeah, and obviously hold those that we put in authority through electing them, hold them accountable for the policy decisions that they do make. For now, though, Professor Muniba Isaacs, I want to thank you for your time this morning.